We're going to continue our series on how to wait on God. This is part two. Heidi gave part one last week, and we're going to kind of go over a little bit of that because she brought out a wonderful 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 step process that will help us to focus and keep our mind on God and to keep waiting on Him. To start off with, I'd like to give some quotes of some famous people before we quote the most famous book of all, the Bible. Woodrow Wilson said, "All things come to him who waits, provided he knows what he's waiting for." And it's pretty true, right? Also, Benjamin Franklin said, "He that can have patience can have what he will." Patience is crucial. It is a crucial part of our belief system and the way that God created us. Another thing I'd like to quote is T.D. Jakes. He said, "Timing is so important. If you're going to be successful in dance, you must be able to respond to rhythm and timing. The same in the spirit. People who don't understand God's timing can become spiritually spastic, trying to make the right things happen at the wrong time. They don't get his rhythm, and everyone can tell they are out of step. They birth things prematurely, threatening the very lives of their God-given dreams." Now, if you'll think about that for a moment, if you look at somebody, have you ever noticed somebody that just doesn't have any rhythm, and they get out and try to dance, and they're just really just all off the beat and the time, and it looks a little spastic because they're just not in it. Same thing happens to you and I many times when we get out of timing with God. We try to make it happen on our own and try to force it. And it's obvious to everybody but us, usually, that we're out of step with God. Well, that's our message this morning. It's going to show us this. We're going to review a little bit and look at step one. We must make up our minds to wait upon God as our only supplier. We must decide to put our hope in God and trust His word. Make the decision and stick with it. James chapter 1 and verse 6, "But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind." Many times, we don't realize just how distracted we get by our problems. Problems can take you off focus. We've taught many times upon Mark 11:24, that if you speak to this mountain and say, "Be removed and cast into the sea," it shall obey. And we've focused that a mountain is something that is standing between you and God. It's something that's blocking your vision, blocking you from seeing. It's a problem that you are focusing on. Have you ever heard anybody making a mountain out of a molehill? That's basically what it is. I mean, when you think about God and how vast and big He is, you have to get pretty low in self-pity to where a molehill blocks your view. And that's exactly what is happening. But when you keep your focus upon God, all the problems aren't near as big. I've often thought that one day we'd end up with a worry tree, and we'd park it right outside the front door so that every one of you, when you come in, you can hang all your worries there and leave them there, so that when you got in here, we could talk to you and we could have a great time. But I would have to put a disclaimer down at the bottom of that tree saying, "I am not responsible that if you go back to pick up your worries, they're gone. I'm not responsible for that." Because I have found that once you get in the presence of God, your worries just seem to dissipate. They're not as important. They're not as grandiose as we have made them. They're not near as big and troublesome. Let's look at a familiar passage of Scripture that we've taught last week. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I want to stop there for a moment. I want you to really understand, another translation uses the word, don't worry. Worry, don't worry about things. When I looked up this word anxious in the Greek, it actually means distracted. You ever been distracted by something? See, that's the devil's job. He's trying to distract you from having faith, from trusting God, from looking at Him, to focusing on Him. He don't want you paying attention to God. So he's distracting you with problems. It also means to go to pieces. Or it means to be pulled in two different directions. That's what anxiety does to you. God allows things to happen in your lives. Things do. Trouble comes our way. But those troubles were not meant to be a stumbling block. God allowed them there for them to be a stepping stone for you to rise to the next level. But when you focus so much on the stone instead of the Lord, you stumble and you're distracted. So we need to focus and get our attention back on the Word of God. Now notice what he says here, be anxious in nothing. Don't be distracted. Don't worry about anything. But by prayer and supplication. The word supplication means a heartfelt petition that is personal and urgent. I mean, after all, when you're in trouble, when you have something that you're worried about, usually it's something you feel is urgent, right? Do you worry about things that you think will never happen? A lot of you do. I heard one lady said, she said, don't tell me it doesn't do any good to worry. Half the things I worry about never happen. So we gotta understand that it's something that's urgent, that we're supposed to let our request be made known to God. But it says prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, I have no doubt that many of you have prayed for an urgent situation or circumstance in your life. But were you thankful for it? Oh, most of us never, huh? Oh, what are we to be thankful for? I was working up on a roofing one time with a bunch of guys. Most of them were not Christians. And I was hammering away, nailing those nails, and I hit the wrong nail. I hit the thumbnail. And it makes a total different sound. You hear all those hammers, bam, bam, bam. And when that thud goes different sound, all hammers stop and they listen. What are they listening for? They're listening to see what's going to come out of my mouth. Because they know what would come out of their mouth. When I grabbed my thumb, I said, oh, praise God. And they looked at me and said, praise God, are you nuts? I said, praise God. Praise God I didn't hit my whole hand. Praise God I still got another thumb. Praise God. I mean, there's lots to be thankful for. In our situation and in our problems, when we're giving our requests and prayers and supplications to God, we need to be thankful. Thankful for His grace. Thankful for His mercy. That's the way we are to approach Him. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is a good way to know if you are worrying or having anxiety about something. Because you don't have peace and anxiety at the same time. So if you're having some anxiety, the peace of God is not that passes all understanding is not guarding your heart and mind. Well, is it God's peace? Is that the problem? No, it's your mind is the problem. It's what your mind is focused on. It's what you're thinking about. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. but a good word makes it glad. What do you think that good word is? The word of God, right? That's always a good word. So we have to realize that anxiety is what causes you to be sad, because you're not getting what you're wanting. You're not getting what you're asking for. You're thinking God has delayed. He's taking too long to answer this prayer. I need an answer, and I need it now. But God is never too early, and He's never too late. So we need to learn to be patient and wait upon Him for the answer, because He is our only source. Now, where we run into trouble is when we try to look for another source. Now, that we don't claim it as that, but the mental anguish and toil that's going on in your mind is you trying to figure out, well, God didn't answer, so how am I going to get this fixed? Let's use the example of healing. Does anybody in this room don't believe that God can heal somebody? Does everybody believe that God can heal? Can God do everything? I mean, He created this earth, certainly. He created your body, certainly He could create a new one. Is there anything impossible for God? Okay, so the question's not with God, right? He can do it. But then when you ask for healing, and it doesn't happen as quick as you think it ought to, what do you do? What do you mean, run to the doctor? You run to the doctor, go get tests. You worry. You have anxiety. You have all this because you didn't think He's answered it the way you wanted Him to, as soon as He should. Now, see, how many of you prayed for patience and, God, I want it now? You know what happens when you pray for patience? He gives you more things to be patient for. So if you're praying for patience, you might ought to think about that before you ask. God knows what He's doing. He's got you. He loves you. And when we become distracted from His love and who He is, then we start worrying about our own self and about our things. What causes anxiety? We answered this question last week. What causes anxiety? Fear. Why? Because you are looking at the problem instead of looking at God. You cannot look to God and be in fear about your circumstances at the same time. You can't do it. The reason you can't do it is because when you look to God as your only hope, as the only one, my only source, then it doesn't matter about the rest. It doesn't matter if there's 20 other sources out there. God is my only source. All those other sources don't get me where I want to go. They may bring temporary relief, temporary help, but they are not God. Never can they be. So we have to understand that it's so important for us not to be in fear about our circumstances. Don't be worrying about them. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 18. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. I'll stop there for a second. To me, when I first read this scripture, it seemed like it was inverted. It seemed like that we start believing, well, I believe something, and then after I believe it long enough, I know it. I just know that I know. That's the way it seems like it works for me. But that's not true. The scripture is true here, because He's saying that you come to know the love of God. And when you know the love of God, you can believe. When you know the love of God, you can believe for healing. When you know the love of God and how much He loves you, you can believe for salvation. But if you don't know how much He loves you, that Christ died for you, that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, if you don't know that, then how can you believe? So it's important for us to know and believe. Then He says, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, this is a lot of abiding, so I thought I'd look that word up too and find out that it means to remain, to stay, or to continue. Let me read that through with that in mind. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Whoever stays in love stays in God, and God stays in him. Whoever continues in love continues in God, and God continues in him. Do you see how important love is? When you recognize, see, fear, worry, anxiety, all is a problem of love. It's a love problem. Not a problem of God's love, because God is love. It's a question of our love for him. Because if you love me, you keep my commandments, is what he said. You trust him. Love requires trust. Verse 17, this is how the love among us is made perfect. Now, understand the word perfect as meaning complete, working through the entire process. That's what it means, complete. This is how the love among us is made complete, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, that as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. That people struggle with that scripture a lot. Well, I can't be like Jesus. Well, then quit calling yourself a Christian. To use the term Christian means to be Christ-like. So don't even call yourself a Christian if you're not even going to try to be like Christ. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But he told us that, you see these works that I'm doing? Even greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus wouldn't lie about something. So as he is in this world, so are we. We are his representatives. That's who we are, because we have confidence in him. Verse 18, in love there is no fear. But perfect love, again, complete love in all of its part, mature love, cast out fear. Because fear has torment. And he that fears is not completed in love. So I guess the way to say this is the presence of fear is the absence of love. Not the absence of God's love. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So God is not taking his love from you and then giving it back and then taking it and then giving it back. That's not the way God works. God so loved the world that he gave to all. That yet while we were sinners, he still loved us. Even before you were born, he loved you. He knew you. So it's not a question of God's love. It's a question of our love, my love. So when I am in fear, I have a love issue. Because if I really love him, I trust him. He's got me. Stop being distracted off of the God's love and allowing the devil to distract you about your circumstance or your problem. God loves you. Step two, we must place our request into God's hands and not worry about them again. If we become anxious or fretful, it means we're trying to take back matters into our own hands. When this happens, repent, or I like to say change the channel, and leave it with God. There's many times I catch myself thinking wrong thoughts. I'm thinking about something I shouldn't. I'm worrying. Now, maybe you're not like me, but maybe you are. Maybe you say, Father, there's an urgent need here. I'm going to leave this in your hands. I'm going to trust you for my finances. I'm just going to trust you. Amen. I give it to you, God. You got me. You love me. And then I walk off, and it is not 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 3 minutes later, I'm thinking, now, what I need to do is I need to go get a loan. Or what I could do is I could sell this. And I start trying to figure it out again in my mind. Any of you run into that problem? You think you've given it over to God, You've said you've given it over to God. And then you pick it right back up and you're thinking about it again. Mental anguish and toil back over and over again. That's what happens many times. We have to place it in God's hands, not worry about it again. Don't be anxious or fretful, because it only means that we're trying to take it back and figure it out on our own. Change the channel. Start thinking about something else. Think about what's good. Philippians 4:8 tells us what to think. Think on the things that are good, lovely, pure, just, good report. Think on these things. So it's important what we think. Leave it with God. Psalms 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. This word, be still, it means cease. Stop it. It also means quiet self. Sometimes we need to quiet ourselves. Have you ever told yourself to shut up? Not as often as we should, huh? Some of you are looking at me like, no, I've never thought of telling myself that. Maybe you should. Many times I tell myself, shut up. Don't be thinking that. Don't say it. Another word is hold your peace. Have you ever been told that? All right, hold your peace. We'll get back to this in a minute. We're going to look into that. But it says to wait patiently for Him, not for somebody else, not for another situation or not another answer to come up. Wait patiently for God. Don't fret. That was in the NIV translation. Let's look at the New King James translation of Psalms 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his ways. Now think about that. Fret not yourself. I have been guilty of this. Boy, that guy just really makes me mad. He's upset me. She's done this. See, that's not scripture. I've allowed myself to get upset. We want to blame it on somebody else. But the Bible is telling us not to fret ourselves. Don't get yourself all worked up. Don't allow them to work you up and get you all frantic and upset. You can control it. You can control it. In fact, let's look what I put here in bold print. Quiet your thoughts. Mental anguish or toiling. That toiling is trying to figure it out. Control your thoughts or they will control you. That is something we need to put into practice daily. Control your thoughts or they will control you. Step 3. Stop lugging around the conflict of your circumstances. You cannot give your problem to God and continue to talk about it. Continuing to discuss your problems is a telltale sign that reveals to everyone you didn't truly give it over to God. Now notice I put in parentheses, even for reasons of sympathy. Sympathy is just another way of saying self-pity. I have had people that you get around them and it seems like all they ever say is something negative. Oh, I'm too old. I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm too stupid. Oh, I can't do this, I can't. They put themselves down constantly. I've even heard, not Carolyn, not anybody in this room, I heard this lady say, you know, they asked her to play the piano. And she says, well, I'd like to, but you know I'm not very good. Now, she was an accomplished pianist. She had gotten a degree in playing piano. She had taught piano playing. She knew she could play the piano. But her putting herself down was really fishing for someone to say, oh, no, you're so good. We'd like to hear you play. They just want that exaltation. It's a false humility. Many times we do that in our speech when we're starting to complain. Now, here's another thing that's very interesting. You notice people that have had problems in their lives and they horrific things happened to them. And they let you know how bad they were. And they let you know how bad it is now because they're thinking about how bad it was. And my mind always thinks, if it was that bad, why do you keep rehearsing it over and over and over? Me, if it's that bad, I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't want to keep rehearsing it. You know, I thought about that word rehearse. Take off the re, what do you got? Hearse. And why is that? Because it's death. It's death to keep going back in your past. The Bible says a man who sets his hands to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom. Have you ever tried driving forward, looking in the rearview mirror? Please don't. It's better for everybody else if you don't. But many people try to live their lives ahead in the future, going forward, but they're always in the rearview mirror looking at what they've done in the past and what has happened to them in the past. How they were abused, how they were misused, how they didn't get a fair break, how it wasn't fair because this happened, circumstances this and circumstances that, and if only this and only that. Let it go. Quit discussing it, especially if you've given it over to God. See, that's a telltale sign that you haven't given it over to God because you keep telling it. Once you've given it over to God, there's no reason to talk about it anymore. Stop discussing it. In other words, hold your peace. Now, I've thought that was an interesting term. I mean, I've heard it used all my life. Hold your peace. So what does that mean? When you don't hold your peace, it's talking about your tongue, right? Meaning, when you blab everything, you're not going to get peace from it. Now, I know what you're thinking. I'm reading your mind right now. Well, Mark, I just feel better when I say it. I've just got to tell somebody. Tell it to Jesus alone. You ain't got to tell the world. In fact, I hate to burst your bubble, but the world really doesn't care. Jesus always does. So quit blabbing it all over the world, all over to everybody, anybody whose ears will listen and letting them know. Many times people don't even realize they're doing it because they're in such a habit of complaining and saying the negative things of how bad their life is and what's hurting them and what's going on. Stop it. Let it go. Stop discussing it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting upon the Lord gives us strength. Doesn't make you weak. Makes you to where you're not weary and you won't faint. I like this in the Amplified version. Let's look at it, Isaiah 40, 31 in the Amplified. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for and hope in Him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Let's bring this to home. Did anybody get tired on your walk over here? I mean, it's not a sin to admit something. Sure, we've got. Do I get tired? Look, I'm half of some of your age. Yeah, I get tired too. But what is my focus on when I'm getting tired? What am I thinking on when I'm getting tired? Am I thinking about my body and whole, how it aches and every ache and pain? I've told you this before. I've had aches and pains. They try to come up on me just like they come up on everybody on this earth. But when it does come, when my body starts to ache, I meet it with the Word of God. Just today, coming from this way, coming down the hall, this knee started to kind of ache a little. And it's kind of making me give a little limp. And I spoke to it. I said, no. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I refuse to limp on a perfectly good leg. So I quit limping and it quit hurting. Now, you say, well, yeah, it's just all in your head. Well, exactly. And what's in your head ends up coming out your mouth. waiting differs from procrastinating. Let me kind of put that in a simple term. Procrastinating is putting something off that you should do. Waiting is putting something off that you shouldn't do. It's just kind of a simple way to think about that. We're not to procrastinate when God tells us to do something. We shouldn't procrastinate in quoting Scripture over our bodies, over ourselves, over our situation. But we must wait upon the Lord, because He alone can do this. I don't have the capability of healing anybody. But God, through me, through His words, do. He said, lay hands on the sick, pray the prayer of faith, and they shall recover. That's my job, is just to pray and lay the hands. And the only reason I lay my hands on is because He said to. So it's not my job to heal you. It's my job to be obedient to the Word. And then when I'm obedient to the Word, guess what happens? God does what He said. Isn't that funny how it works? God always does what He says in His Word. All we have to do is follow it. The Hebrew word for wait is kava, which means to look eagerly for, to be collected, to expect. Step four, keep yourself calm and encouraged. Be brave. Do not fear, not fearful, and trust God. That means to stop quoting what your doctor says, what your friends say, what your family says, and even what the news has to say about your circumstances, and start quoting what God says in His Word instead. Stop being fearful. Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we are so focused in listening to everybody else, what everybody else says, it's going to drown out what God says. And if you want to have what God has for you, you're going to have to get into His Word and read it. Well, I've read that 100 times, Mark. I know by His stripes I am healed. I know you know that. I know you've heard that. I know, because we have taught you that. I know you've heard the Scripture. But if you know that in the back of your mind, but in the front of your mind, the doctor's telling you this, your family's telling you that, your circumstances is telling you this, your body's saying this, then that gets grounded out because it's not in the forefront of your mind. So you need to rehearse it and repeat it. Keep it on your mind at all times. Psalms 43:3-5. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Now, let's stop here for a second. David wrote this psalm. Who is David talking to right here? He's talking to himself. I read years ago a book that said, what to say when you talk to yourself. And it's important. Don't look at me like that. We all talk to ourselves. We all do. Sometimes we answer. I answer myself sometimes. We all answer ourselves sometimes. But what are we saying when we talk to ourselves? He's saying right here, he's talking to his own soul and saying, why are you despaired? Why are you disturbed? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Your countenance, your faith, your face tells on you. When you're upset, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, when you're unhappy, when you're sad, when you're glad, the expressions on your face tell it all. So that's why it's talking about your countenance, because that word countenance really means face. Let's think about this. Your first response to a problem is an indicator of your priorities. What you think, say, and do. Why is that? First, you think a thought. In Psalms 23:7, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Then, after you think about something, you start talking about it. Jesus said this in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you think a thought, then you start talking about it, and then it becomes action. If you can interrupt that process somewhere in between there, you can stop negative things from happening to you. You can stop this bad situation from getting worse. In fact, you can revert it and turn it into better merely by the things you say. What do we know in Proverbs 18 and verse 21? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's so simple, because what you're saying is going to give permission for what happens to you. God just didn't come in and override your will, and no matter what you want, you're going to get saved and you're going to get healed. That's not how it works. If that was true, then everybody would be saved and everybody would be healed. But everybody's not saved. God is not willing that any should perish. But are some going to perish? Yes, because they don't accept his ways. It's not God's fault. He wants them to. But he's made man with a free will, and he's not going to override that free will. Step 5. Patience takes time to develop. Allow patience to mature you so it operates through you on a regular basis. Without it, you become prideful, doing things on your own. Decide to be patient. Luke 21:19. In your patience, possess your souls. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Just by being patient, you can stop things from happening in your mind, in your will, and your emotions. Step 6, don't be spiritually lazy. It is recognized by the lack of understanding of God's word or the absence of putting it into practice. You know a lazy person when they don't put God's word into practice, especially if they know it. And there's a lot of people that don't know it, and the Bible tells us that my people perish for lack of knowledge. Once you know something, you have to act on it. Don't be lazy. Don't allow apathy to sneak in. Proverbs 13:4, the lazy person craves, yet receives nothing. But the desires of the diligent are satisfied. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord will guide you continually and give you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. This is specifically talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do this for you. That is God's gift to us. And when we have the Holy Spirit help us in our times when we feel dry, it refreshes us. It's the water. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. How does God guide us? He guides us by his word. So it's important that if we want to have patience, and we all need to have patience, this is the way we wait on God. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, I'm thankful that you've given this word to us today, that you have given us patience. Help us to apply what we have learned. Help us to use what you have shown us. We want to be that well done, that good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. To do that, we need patience, and we need to apply your word. So, Father, we ask for help in this, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.